Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. What does the Trump win mean? I mean, spiritually speaking and politically speaking, here's my assessment. First, without any question, the election results were, well, astounding in many ways, but certainly a great relief to all God-fearing patriots. Now, when I say that, I am aware that some are offended, who are liberals, that consider themselves to be God-fearing patriots. So allow me to clarify. I want to show you the distinction between someone who has a superstitious faith versus someone who has concrete faith. That is a faith that God exists in the material universe, that he has physical form. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ being the visible of the invisible God, that he is something, someone real, that he's solid, that he said, come here and touch me, Thomas, and see. And then Thomas knelt and said, my Lord and my God. I mean, he's real. That God exists and has being in the sense that we understand, a rock or a tree or you or me. Has being, a substantive faith, that is, having a firm basis in reality, and therefore meaningful. That is, that God is a being that has interaction with the physical spiritual realm in a way that affects specific effects that are experienced by any and all that come into contact with that being in a manner, much like, and again, I go to the tree, you look at a tree and it affects you. It produces an effect in you to one degree or another. I mean, it might only create the effect of having you walk around it instead of trying to go through it, that kind of thing. But it has existence in the real world that has an impact on you. So you see, there is a difference between those who have a concrete, substantive faith as opposed to those who have superstitious faith. So let's explore that for a moment. A superstitious faith is a mere religious feeling, a kind of sense that perhaps there's something there. You know, let me explain. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that whether you are a believer listening to me or not, you have in you this instinct of faith, this capacity for believing what you can't see. This faith is, and you need that, by the way, you couldn't function in the real world. Faith is the capacity to sense the reality of the spiritual realm of the physical universe. Or in other words, the spiritual is real, like the physical is real. The difference being one is immaterial and the other is material, and yet no less real. That is, the spiritual has actual existence or being in creation, even though its elemental composition is in many ways different from that which is physical. Anyway, God designed into man a capacity for spiritual interaction and sensitivity. Actually, other creatures also have this capacity in varying degrees. So man has spiritual senses in a way similar to how he has physical senses. And some are more developed than others and so forth, but he has spiritual senses. When men sense a spirituality, that there's a kind of spiritual reality, you know, that spiritual reality they're sensing is not their creator, then this is not a response to the true spirit of God. Well, they can develop a sort of fear of the unknown or even a reverence for things beyond our understanding, that kind of thinking, you know, a sort of religious feeling, and many will call this God when it's not actually the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Have you ever wondered why in the Bible you'll have the statement, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a way to differentiate him, to separate him from anything else thought to be God? You see, many of these people have superstitious feelings, religious feelings, but they're not directed toward the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and such religious feeling or religious ideation, which is a sort of mild condition of paranoia, that's superstition. There are many of what the Bible calls seducing spirits that operate in the world and that impress upon the mind the thoughts of many to mistake or to confuse their spiritual feelings as authentic religious sentiment. And so they fancy themselves as spiritual. And they will fancy themselves as, well, I'm God-fearing, when in fact they have no fear of God at all. For example, with regard to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, they spurned the notion that God would call homosexuality an abomination. They reject that. They repudiate that because their religious sentiments are shaped by seducing spirits or their own vain imaginations, and they're believing doctrines, really of devils, and not doctrines of the true Holy Spirit of truth, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who inspired the text of the Bible as God's word. Now, that's how I differentiate. Now, you might not agree with me. Now, that's fine. You can be wrong. But that's how I differentiate between what I call God-fearing patriots and those who are really, they call themselves God-fearing, but they're actually just superstitious. They are deceived into believing themselves to be God-fearing when in fact they are God of the Bible despising individuals. They arrogantly presume themselves superior to the traditional Christian notions of God that come from the Bible. And so there you have it, as my beloved Dove would say. Okay? A God-fearing patriot, then, is one who fears the same God our founders talked about. One who fears the Creator. You know, the one who endowed to us certain unalienable rights. Who understand him to be a person. A single being with personality, intellect, emotion, volition. That exists objectively to his creation, distinct from it, and the creator of it. And is identified as the one true God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose word is truth. And that truth is revealed in the scripture. There. Now, back to my first statement then, when I'm assessing this election. Indeed, the election was certainly a great relief to all God-fearing patriots. Indeed, my initial response was a huge sigh of relief, because it's exactly what I prayed for. I got problems here because so many of you so totally misunderstood my whole take on this thing. I don't like Trump. I don't trust Trump. And I'll get into that another day. All right. I will watch Trump like a hawk, and I'll call him on any misstep he makes, just like I would anybody else, including anybody like Reagan. By the way, you know, some of you don't even know this, but when Reagan did that amnesty deal, I decried it vehemently. When he did his budget deal with the Dems way back when, I denounced that as a great mistake, and I was right on both points, but I don't have time to get bogged down into that right now. So let me just enjoy for a little bit the relief that this gives us. Hillary's behavior regarding Benghazi was all by itself enough to disqualify her from ever leading our nation's military or shaping U.S. foreign policy. It is hard for me to imagine anyone with sense wanting to put America's national security secrets in the hands of someone either A, so incompetent as to allow top secret information to pass to foreign powers unfriendly to the United States, or B, who's so wicked and corrupt that she would sell those secrets for favorable donations to her foundation or other ways of personally benefiting from the transfer of that information. Now, Trump said she ought to be put in jail, right? Something to that effect. Well, he was right. But now that he has won, will we discover that was nothing but clever campaigning, you know, playing skillfully to his support base in a debate? Or was it a genuine sentiment? And if it was a genuine sentiment, is he sufficiently committed to it to follow through now and put someone in the DOJ, the Department of Justice, that will actually do our justice? You know, the People's Department of Justice needs to be tasked to actually pursue justice, not political expediency and use as a political machine to cover certain politicians in their shenanigans. It should not be used to protect the rich and wealthy like the Clintons. Hillary must not be allowed to shield herself from justice by her wealth or influence. So one thing to look out for is the deal maker to start going soft on enemies of justice like Hillary. Trump supporters were chanting, lock her up, lock her up. Remember that? And that truly is what needs to happen here. Now, obviously, the truth has to come out, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, of course. And so an aggressive and political-free investigation needs to go forward into this whole email business, you know, her foundation, Benghazi, the works, and where she is proved to be culpable, she needs to have the full weight of justice fall on her like a ton of bricks. Ballot box justice, thank God for it, slapped her pretty hard and stunned the entire left side of the country. But she smugly goes on in her lies. And America, you know what? The young people who are duped into supporting her, this ridiculous education system, something's got to be done about that. But those young people, especially, who duped into supporting her, especially need to know the truth about her. It needs to all come out. Now, Russia's taking some heat for chafing against all the nice talk coming from the libs now, and by the way, from many on the right as well. I read a headline saying Russia's opposed to unity. What a bunch of nonsense. Huh? Here's what he actually said. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting nervous. I'm already getting nervous. I know it's early. I'm not getting nervous because of anything I've heard President-elect Trump say. I'm getting nervous because of things I'm hearing other people say, things totally unnecessary. And I want to take some time today to try to explain why I'm nervous and destroy some myths that seem to always pop up after elections about unity and crossing the aisle and working together and, you know, almost apologizing for winning. I'm sick of it. I'm fed up with it. I have watched it happen for now 29 years, and I'm not going to sit here and stand or sit mute while it happens again, end quote. Now, you know what? He is right on. Listen, every time the left gets trounced, there's about 2 or 3 weeks, actually it goes on at any time they think it's useful, whimpering about how, you know, we've all got to come together now and how important it is that we all work together. You know, we're all Americans after all. You know, I am also sick of this. What I want Trump to do is ignore this nonsense and focus on doing what he promised, period. He should not even begin attempting to engage them on this nonsense. It reminds me of Jehu riding into Jezreel, recorded in 2 Kings 9, 16-37. You ought to read that. I'll be speaking on this Sunday night for the Issachar Report. But in 2 Kings 9:22, and it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he, that is Jehu, answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many," quote unquote. Now that's the right spirit here. You see, here is where we make a mistake. So often we have turned victory into defeat because we make this one fundamental mistake. We assume that winning the election means we won. No, winning the election only gets you on the playing field to fight the battle, or on the battlefield to engage in the war. We've not yet won. We have not won. Not until justice is actually served. Now, Jehu was made king of Israel, but he didn't just consider, okay, well, we're done. We got it. Now let's all make nice. No. He executed the judgment and the justice that was necessary to restore righteousness in the land. Trump has not won yet. He has been given the opportunity to engage in the battle to secure a victory, but he hasn't won yet. And you better support him. Don't let up on her or any of these criminals until they faced justice. Jehu was given the kingdom and he began his ride. He rode his chariot furiously and he was on a mission to execute wrath upon the evildoers of the land. And as he rode toward Jezreel, where Jezebel was holed up, Jehoram, then king of Israel, or Joram, also called Joram, and Ahaziah, then king of Judah, sent messengers out to him. Everybody wanted to make peace, see? And so the messengers come out and they say to Jehu, peace, peace, basically, right? They said, hey, it's time to unite the kingdom, you know? They said, look, we've had enough strife and acrimony. It's time to relax, time to have peace. Is it peace, Jehu, they said? You know what he told the messenger that was sent by these guys? Get out of my way. Get behind me or get mowed down. Both of them, two messengers were sent out ahead. And Jehu said, what have you to do with peace? Get behind me. The MSM come out. Is it peace, Trump? The left, so many of them, the main messengers of Jezebel's power base, are talking about peace and unity. You know, we've all got to get along. We have to stop talking so stridently about the issues. We need to become passive. We need to become placid. You need to pacify now. Pacify. Heal the wounds. And you know what I say? Don't fall for it. Right, Jehu. You tell them, what have you, MSM? What have you got to do with peace? Get out of the way. Get behind me. Judgment's coming. The politicians and the pundits. Is it peace, Trump? What have you to do with peace, you liars, you deceivers of the people? What have you to do with peace, you lying messengers? Get out of the way. Judgment's coming. A major correction is coming. Isn't that what all of you Trumpers wanted? You want a Trump thumping to fall on the heads of these wicked rulers of the people. Don't let up. Let's have it. Finally, Jehu reached Jehoram and Ahaziah, the leaders of the corrupt political party. They tried to assuage him somewhat and calm him down with their messengers. And when he finally got there, they say, is it peace, Jehu? Is it peace? Obama, hey, Trump, don't undo all I've accomplished. I mean, I can almost hear the Obamsters saying, look, you want national single-payer health care. I've heard you say it. So come on. I know you had to throw red meat at the dogs who are rabid against my health care program. Bunch of racists, you know, I understand. I get that. But look, you have an opportunity here to take what I've done and build on it. Trump, because I know you want single payer nationalized health care, and I'll support you. I'll throw my support behind you. And I hope Trump said, what peace? So long as your behind the doors deals with the devils of the insurance business are in place, what peace? So long as your crony phony deals are in place, what peace? So long as people's insurance rates have doubled, in some places tripled and quadrupled, what peace? So long as there are any remnants of your effort to transform America into a Marxist, socialist, democratic dictatorship exists, what peace? So long as there remains in force a law of oppression upon the people, forced into the law by tricks, by lies, by deceit, talking Obamacare, you remember, and trampling upon the Constitution. What peace? What have you to do with peace? The 15-minute meeting that turned into a 90-minute meeting and ended with, what I understand, with a cancellation of the traditional photo op with the first couple and the incoming first couple. Maybe they'll take care of that later. I don't know. Did Obama make a plea for Trump to keep his Middle East policies in place? Let's hope Trump did not become conciliatory. That he didn't start crawfishing, start backing off. So long as your socialist, Marxist, terrorist, Muslim terrorists are chopping off the heads of innocent Christians and others in Syria, what peace? So long as Muslim Brotherhood-sponsored terrorists that you armed with Libya's weapons passed on to ISIS through Benghazi, what peace? So long as, you see, you get the idea. Old Jehoram ran for his life. And Jehu pulled his bow with all his might and let it fly. And the arrow struck through that traitor Jehoram's heart. And obviously, I'm not speaking of Trump actually taking his composite bow. And I don't have to explain this to you. I know the liberals who grab little bits and pieces of this show will do what they're going to do with it, but those liars will always do what liars do. I mean the arrow of justice. If Trump follows through on his policies regarding Syrian refugees, if he follows through with his promise to take ISIS out, if he moves forward on his promise to end Obamacare, that will be an arrow that would pierce the heart of that traitor, and I hope he slumps down in the shame of defeat because he deserves it for what he has done to our republic. What peace? There is no peace until the wrongs committed by the Obama administration are righted. I went a bit long in this segment. Hold on through the break. I'm going to continue this on the other side.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Looks like their hands have been slapped and they'll have to take their hands off for a little while longer. Okay, the insight I'm trying to massage into your minds and hearts is simple but vital. Trump has not won yet. He has been given the opportunity to get into the game. He won his place on the playing field. He has been invited onto the court. He's been called onto the football field. And in many ways, the ball has been put into his hands. But the game is yet to be won. I call on Trump to be like Jehu. God made Jehu king of Israel. And suddenly everybody wanted him to make peace. Come on, Jehu, you can be king. That's fine. But hey, let's make peace. Make nice. Jehu was on a mission from God to execute wrath upon evildoers, to restore justice and judgment in Israel, and to work God's wrath upon the wicked and unreasonable leaders that rule the people in wickedness, oppression, by lies and deceit. Yes, Jehoram, Jezebel, Ahaziah, the whole lot of them, trampling on the law of the land, stealing the private property of citizens like Naboth's vineyard. Anyway, right now we are going to continue enjoying the mercy God has shown us. We're going to screw up our courage to the sticking point and prepare for the great battle that will rage as we move forward to take America back. It's don't get tired now. Take a breath, get your second breath, get your second wind, and get back into the battle. This thing's not over yet. As Trump puts it, he wants to make America great again. That hasn't happened yet. It's like with Obama, when he got elected, the seas didn't recede and all that junk. Trump has won, but that doesn't mean the wall's there or that any of the things he's promised has happened yet. Jehu is heading into Washington. All right, that's great. Or Jezreel. the seat of power in Israel at that time, and the first messengers have come out. Is it peace, Jehu? And he wisely dismisses them. And what do you have to do with peace, you lousy, divisive MSM, you dividers of the people by your racism, you wicked leaders of the people who constantly twist everything into a racist issue? White lash, right. Have we not been experiencing the fruit of your, okay, we'll call it black lash. Is that what that is? Is that the rhetoric you want? Peace, right. What peace? None. Not until justice is done. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. There's your path to peace. We will have peace when righteousness is restored. And that will not happen until judgment and justice have gone forward. It has been unshackled. And the chains that the politicians have put on justice have been broken. So Jehu is heading into town, and Jehoram, his Obama in my analogy, reaches out. Is it peace, Jehu? And I developed that in the last segment. What peace, so long as your wicked effort to turn this nation into a democratic dictatorship has virtually eviscerated the Constitution and the rule of law in our land? Now Jehu moves on. He is king. He has the rule. He is the ruler, the chief executive officer of the kingdom of Israel, if you will. But he did not go about peace, you know. He didn't get distracted with all the calls for unity and the whining about let's get along and all this business about it's time to heal. No, it's time to go to work. It's time to inflict the real wounds that put to rest the enemies of our liberty. He set out to do the job. He focused like a laser beam on getting the job done, and that's what Trump needs to do. So Jehu goes into Jezreel, and Jezebel is in an upper story building, looking down at Jehu. She cries. Here it is. I just read it to you. When Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And Jehu entered in at the gate, and she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window, and he said, "Who's on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs, and he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink, sat down, had lunch, and said, "Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." And of course, when they went, they found nothing but the palms of her hand and a few remnants left that the dogs got to her. She tried to chide Jehu's conscience. She tried to weaken his resolve to curb his passions by challenging his conscience. The MSM, Hillary, Obama, all of them trying to prod the conscience of Trump, and it's a false thing. Trying to appeal to him to back off, lighten up. You know, hey, you've won, so, you know, take it easy. Calm down, you know, for the sake of unity. Obama says, "I was heartened by the tone," and all this nonsense. Be heartened by this. Obamacare, gone. ISIS, gone. Your phony effort to demonize Russia, gone. You're playing footsie with the Muslim Brotherhood, feeding intel to Saudi Arabia, Hillary, bowing to the Muslims terrorists supporting Muslim Brotherhood, done. So Jezebel, Hillary, paints her face, tires her head, tries to shame Jehu to be more conciliatory with the enemies of our nation and the enemies of any real peace. And Jehu says, "Who's on my side?" And lo and behold, we found there were quite a few of them with her who were actually on Trump's side, and they threw her down. Something like 6 million Democrats didn't bother going out to vote in this election. At least that's what I've heard. All right, hundreds of thousands of others turned from her and went with him. I saw a headline, you know, we look at the country county by county, an election map. It's been said Trump has more coverage than Verizon. Trump cried, "Who's on my side?" And several dropped Hillary from the window like Jezebel was thrown out. And then the dogs ate her up. Okay, maybe I'm getting carried away here, but all right, listen. But really, there's certainly a spiritual application here. Let Hillary be thrown to the faithful dogs of justice, and let the law ravage her till there's nothing left but the palms of her blood-stained hands to stand as a continual witness to justice, to judgment, and to equity. Now look, here's the sum of the matter. The popular wave movement Trump rode into power on, listen, you haven't won yet. Republic rats make this mistake all the time. Don't you do it. They think that because they win an election, they've won the battle, and now it's all time to get along with everybody. Listen, you have not won yet. The enemy is still on the field, and they are in huddle right now deciding on their next move to beat you. And you'd better be doing the same thing. All you've won so far is a place on the field of battle. Now it's time to do the battle for the victory. Don't let the messengers of Jezebel and Jehoram and Ahaziah or Obama and Hillary and the rest of that crowd, MSM, don't let them blur your focus with false cries and whining about peace and unity. Peace and unity are the farthest things from their minds. Look how Black Lives Matter behaves. No peace, there's no unity. Look how the left does their business when they have power. Remember Obamacare. Remember the lies. Remember, you'll see any legislation 72 hours before you vote on it. Remember, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Remember, we're going to make healthcare affordable for everyone. Lies, lies, lies. Don't get complacent thinking you've won because you won an election. Remember, Benghazi. That's important. Don't forget Benghazi and our ambassador and the other brave Americans left hanging while under attack by terrorists, and Obama yawned and went to bed and Hillary refused to send help, and both of them conspired to lie to the American people with this movie made them do it business. What peace, what unity, so long as Obama and Hillary and their ilk continued to foment disunity and agitate the nation, trying to transform us into a Marxist democratic dictatorship following Alinsky's tactics. There's no peace until that's been addressed. So my warning is this. If Trump decides to become all of a sudden some kind of nice guy who just wants to get along, shake hands, make deals, you better watch out. Obviously, we all want peace. Of course, we want unity. But the Jezebels and the Jehorams of our land are in the way of that peace and of that unity. Oh, listen. They only cry peace and unity when it provides cover for them to hide like cockroaches until they can venture out in enough darkness to start feeding on our liberties once again. They only cry peace and unity when it gives them cover to plan their next attack on our culture and on our national security and on our economy. Don't buy it. Here's the path to peace. Isaiah 32, verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. That's the path to peace. And righteousness needs to be understood from Scripture. The Creator defines righteousness. Not the righteousness of those who are superstitious believers who've made their own idea of righteousness, the rule of the land, which is vanity and lies, but the righteousness of God, the Creator, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trump needs to stay laser focused on his mission. He needs to avoid allowing his fervor to be curbed or his passion assuaged by the deceitful calls for unity and peace. He needs to execute his promises and stay totally focused on that. He has not won yet. He's been invited onto the field of battle. Now, there's no peace until the battle is fought and won. I hope the man you sent out there to be our champion will not pull a Schwarzenegger and get all weak in the knees when he faces some serious opposition, and you can bet it's coming. Winning an election is not equivalent to winning the political war. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States from outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you may email me by going to our website at thebraymassageshow.com. That's thebraymassageshow.com. You'll find there a place to send me an email. If you are in a hurry when you call, just say lights on, lights off, hang up. If you want to ream me out, you know, you want to just let me have a piece of your mind to chew on, since I've laid down a chunk for you to choke on today. If you want, fine, I want to hear from you. It's interesting and helpful to me to hear my supporters and my detractors. It does help me. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church, hopefully this Sunday night, for an amazing Issachar report.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.